Welcome back to Ocean FM's Sports Review of 2021, the final hour of our look back on the past 12 months. This hour, we'll concentrate on soccer with a little bit of boxing thrown in as we look back on Sligo Rovers' 2021 season. But we're going to begin with our favourite soccer interview from 2021, and it came last June from Ballysadare United in the Sligo Leitrim Junior Soccer League. There was football in June this year because of the reconfigured League Cup competitions locally. Team manager Noel Meenahan had just watched his side lose to champions Carbery by 14 goals to 1 when he spoke to our reporter Donal Ryan, who, by the way, was making his Ocean FM debut for us that day. This was his first radio interview to conduct.
Noel, it was a pretty comprehensive victory there for Carbery. Is there any positives that Ballysadare side can take out of that today?
Well, I suppose the only positive you can take is that we're building an academy here, and we have to trust in our own players. That's why the 11 that started here have all played with the club, played underage with the club, and that's what we stick by. There's no point in us throwing the white flag at an academy that we put our heart and soul into.
And there was a lot of young players playing for you there today. Do you think that's the right way to go about it? I mean, it was a heavy enough defeat, but surely the fruits will come with that in the future.
Well, we're standing on a 400,000 pitch. We probably put about 60 hours a week into coaching here. So we coach our own, coach from the communities, whether it's Colooney, Ballysadare, Ballinacara, Intertown, whatever. When they come here, they have a right to play for the jersey. There's no point in us putting the effort into that and then moving on to getting players from outside of that. So we invest in the academy, and we trust in the academy, we trust in the jersey, and just a bit emotional after that, because it's a big defeat to take. But listen, you start at the bottom, and as I said, the further you are away from what and feeling you can achieve something, the better it is and the sweeter it is when you actually achieve it. So we stick by what we have. It's something I believe in. There's no point in me investing into 6-year-olds here on a Saturday and 12 years later they don't have an opportunity to play here. This is a world class facility. Their parents, their grandparents, everybody's invested in that. So it's up to us to stick by that, and I guarantee it, next Sunday, whether we're playing Real Tubber or whoever we're playing, we'll be getting a game. And it's not about the result at the end of the day. The result is, coaching isn't about me as a person, it's about the club, it's about the players. Some lads have had their first game. It's a shame that it's a defeat like that, but listen, they'll learn from it and they'll move on from it, and we look forward to a game next Sunday and representing our club all the time. Like, there's absolutely no point in us going outside of this pitch, outside of this community. This is a club, this is a community club, and we'll invest in that till the day I die anyways.
Knowing what it's all about, that's Ballysadare United's Noel Meenahan speaking to Ocean FM Sport back in June. And rest assured, Ballysadare have since gone on to improve and win plenty of games in the new season. Well, Sligo Rovers began a new League of Ireland campaign with plenty of optimism. A top four finish the previous year had secured European football in the new Europa Conference League. Manager Liam Buckley did some good shopping, bringing in genuine quality like Bulger, McCourt, Horgan and McDonnell. And in Riverstown, the club also uncovered a new diamond.
His three fingers up, like I said, and he hit the post and he hit the upright as well. You know, he could have had five. He was a threat running in behind, and in the modern game, like I said, pace is everything.
Gibson and Donlan stand over the ball. You get the impression Donlan's going to have a crack, but it does favour Gibson's right boot as well. Damien McGrath making sure the wall is back the requisite 10 yards. Bulger is standing in there to make a nuisance of himself. Shane Blaney is in there as well. Will it be Gibson or will it be Donlan? Here we go. It's Gibson right-footed straight into the wall. The rebound will come back to the same player. Gets it under control and fires in a shot, which is on target. Good save by Talbot. The rebound from Kenny. Johnny Kenny, yes. Makes it Sligo Rovers 1. Bohemians 0.
Great finish by Kenny. Great finish. Great reaction from Gibson. You know, the first free kick hit the wall. His strike was a good save from Talbot, and that's what young Kenny does. He follows in everything, and a great start for Sligo. Well deserved. He started the game really well.
The goal coming right as we turned into the 14th minute. It was Jordan Gibson's free kick, which hit the wall. The rebound came back to the same player. He brought it under control, moved it to his right, and flashed in a shot which found a clear path into James Talbot. He parried it, but at an angle straight to Johnny Kenny. And although the angle was acute enough, Kenny knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he buried it.
Great finish, Austin. You know, the ball comes really out to him really, really quickly. And, you know, he finishes first time.
This is Donlan up to the goal scorer, Kenny. Kenny tries a cheeky back heel, doesn't come off, but retains possession and plays a great ball infield to find Niall Morahan. Morahan across at the far side to Mark Byrne. All the academy players combining on that occasion for Sligo Rovers. This is Banks continuing his run. Gets the cross in. Kenny is there! Johnny Kenny brilliant again!
Goal. Brilliant goal, Austin. Really, really fantastic goal. Started with Gannon playing the ball up to Kenny. Kenny done really well, played it in midfield. And as I said, we got a 2v1 white. You know, Banks really done well, you know, combined with Byrne. Great ball across the box. And Johnny Kenny, he's looked really sharp tonight, really up for it. Great for Sligo. Really, really great for Sligo. And I'm looking out at Bowles now, and there's a big inquest going on in the middle of the park, you know. So, really, really good for us, but a superb team goal.
Well, that move and that goal was started and finished by Johnny Kenny. In the 22nd minute, he won the ball at the halfway line. He tried a cheeky back heel. It didn't come off, but he kept possession and shrugged off physically the challenge of a bigger player. Played it into Niall Morahan, out to Mark Byrne, to the on-running Lewis Banks, yeah, who was overlapping. I mean, just the build-up play was as really enjoyable good as the finish.
It's a great team goal, you know. It really, really is. And of course, to show you, you know, I'm just looking at Mark Byrne coming off here now. Maybe he's maybe he's bleeding. He got a bang in the face, you know. Hopefully it's not too serious, but great opportunity for Sligo now. You know, we're 2-0 up. We started the game really, really well, you know, so hopefully now we can push on.
And our media colleagues here are telling us that the video of the second goal for Rovers suggests it was an own goal and not Johnny Kenny, even though the club are still attributing both goals to Johnny Kenny on their social media. But it appears goal two wasn't Johnny Kenny's strike in the end when that ball was crossed in by Lewis Banks. It was finished the net by the defender just in front of him as they both tried to get on the end of it. And DeFries is in here. DeFries has broken down the attempt at clearance. This is Ryan DeFries in on goals. He's got Kenny inside. Still Ryan DeFries, right footed, and yes, scores a delightful goal.
Yes.
Ryan DeFries is back, ladies and gentlemen. And the Kiwi scores at the showgrounds. Rovers third. It's Sligo Rovers 3. It's Bohemians 0.
Yeah, great goal. You know, as I said, I've been critical about DeFries in the last couple of weeks. I don't think he's been up to speed, but he's definitely up to speed tonight. And I'd imagine that's game over.
And you can see what it means to him. I think he knows that's an important little milestone for him in what's been a difficult enough season for him.
Yeah, and he showed great composure. You know, I think if he'd have missed, John Kenny would have been really, really annoyed because he was waiting for it to happen. But a great, great goal. And especially when Bowles were for the night for 5 minutes after half time, were really the dominant side. You know, really, you can't see Sligo losing from this now.
Here is Gibson in a forward role, trying to nutmeg Devoid there, and plays in Johnny Kenny. This is Johnny Kenny in behind the back four, left footed.
Yes.
Kenny makes it four.
Yes.
And now he has got his second. If there was any doubt about the one in the first half, there is none about this one. Quality, quality, quality from Johnny Kenny. He ties the game up for Sligo Rovers. Sligo Rovers 4, Bohemians 0.
Great play from Gibson. You know, really, really good player. Not only did he step beyond the boy, right, but he knocked a great ball on Kenny on his weak side, on his left-hand side, and like the one before he hit the post. So great composure and a great finish. Like I said, I'd be worried about trying to keep him at the moment, Austin. You know, he's been outstanding since he came into the team. You know, I know his family very well. You know, he's really level-headed. He's a lovely lad. But it's his work rate and his honesty. You know, he runs in behind. Like, you've got to remember, both have changed their two centre halves trying to cope with him. He's been outstanding tonight and fully deserves. Like I said, it's a pity he didn't get the other one. He'd have had a hat-trick.
And the players now come to the main stand here and they are saluting the small band of supporters, season ticket holders who were lucky, who won the mini lotto and got in here tonight. And they are all standing and acknowledging, because you've got to give credit. You can criticise online on social media when it's not going well, but this was a proper Rovers performance that we saw in the first half of the season, and they have sent out a little statement. We won't be getting carried away, but Sligo Rovers 4, Bohemians 0 should silence the doubters for a while, Gavin Dykes.
Sounds great, Austin. Keep saying it. That's some result. It's a statement of intent. Did I see it coming? No, I'll be honest with you, I didn't. I don't think a lot of people did, but that's why this league is the way it is. You know, as I said, if you look at it, Drogheda came here, you know, and Venice quite comfortably. They were the hungrier team on the night. Bowes then absolutely destroyed Drogheda, and we destroyed Bowes tonight. It's just a crazy league, but a great credit to us, you know. And I said, right up the middle of the pitch tonight from McGinty, John Mann was absolutely outstanding. Bulger in the middle of the pitch does what Bulger does. And the best player on the pitch was Johnny Kenny by a mile. You know, his work rate, his honesty, and his finishing. You know, his finishing, like, you know, has been really, really outstanding.
Here's an interesting moment, because Shane Crossan is giving Johnny Kenny the match ball, which indicates a hat-trick. Now, we thought he had scored two in the first half. Then we were told by our media colleagues here that the second goal took a deflection and may be credited as an own goal. But Johnny Kenny has taken the ball home anyway. He can show this to Dad.
He deserves it. Yeah. He really, really does. You know, and he has three fingers up, like I said. And he hit the post and he hit the upright as well. You know, he could have had five. He was a threat running in behind. And in the modern game, like I said, pace is everything. It's the one thing defenders are afraid of. Bowes changed their two centre halves and they couldn't cope with him all over the place.
His mother told him someday you will be a man and you will be the leader of a big home band. Many people coming from miles around to hear you playing music when the sun goes down. Maybe someday your name will be in lights saying Johnny be gone tonight, go, go.
And that 4-0 win at the end of June, one of several games Johnny Kenny influenced. He would earn international call-ups with the Republic of Ireland under 19 side and scored three times in three consecutive European qualifiers. Despite two losses to Drogheda and St Pat's in mid-June, by the end of the month, Rovers looked in good shape and looked like European finishers until we got into July and the European excursion to Iceland. Then, for some reason, for seven matches in a row, the wheels appear to come off.
It's important we get organised now. You know, keep concentration levels high, switch on, you know, and make sure nobody gets a free header.
And remember, there's no Greg Bulger in there, no John Mahan in there to organise things. The substitute, Dimitrevich, is going to take it. Right-footed, it'll be an outswinger. Plays it short, not a great kick. It's cleared easily by David Coley for Sligo Rovers. But back come the home team once more. With Gunnarsson. This is Dimitrovic. We get a second bite of the cherry. That's a better cross. And the header is good. And into the corner of
Lennon.
The net. And it is Stephen Lennon who's done it. In the dying moments of this game, in the 85th minute, Stephen Lennon, formerly of Dundalk and Glasgow Rangers, gives FH a priceless lead in Iceland. They lead by 1-0.
I spoke too soon. Honestly, I said we didn't see him the whole game. And again, just like in the first half, he snuck in and, you know, he's the smallest man on the pitch. He's a good ball in and he gets right across. I think he gets across Blaney. He does get across Blaney. And he just gets a nick on it and it's a fantastic finish.
Well, you know, it's a header that Raf Crataro will be proud of. It was a really intelligent, dinky little header into the corner of the net, beyond the reach of Luke McNicholas. There was nothing the Rovers keeper could do about that. And the 10 men of Rovers, with 4 minutes of normal time remaining, find themselves a goal behind.
This is a chance for Hafnar Fjordur to go 2-0 up on the night, 3-0 up on aggregate. It's Lennon, right-footed against McNicholas.
That's a great penalty.
Up into the top right-hand corner as we look on. And it's a disastrous start to the second half for Sligo Rovers, and they trail 2-0 on the night and 3-0 on aggregate.
I wonder at times why we even get them like this game. You know, we've been far the better side. We've been undone with two set players.
I think that's frustration on the Sligo Rovers' part, certainly, at having lost here tonight. It's finished Sligo Rovers 1, Hafnar Fjordur 2 on the night, and Hafnar Fjordur emerge as 3-1 winners on aggregate in the UEFA Europa Conference League.
Throw comes in to Brian Whitmarsh. Once again, it comes to Keane Coleman. He lays it off, and it's in the back of the net. The last couple of minutes, Alan Keane, Cork City have looked like they have stolen that. 1 minute of ordinary time left before we went to extra time, and it's in the back of the net. I think that was Dale Holland, the substitute.
Oh,
where do
God.
We start, Alan? Oh my word!
This is just a disaster. It took a bit of a deflection, but that's too easy. It's just, you know, it's come from, again, that ball, Horgan's come in, it's come out. It's just too soft. No one's gone to close him down. No one's gone with desire. No one's gone with any sort of, you know, I want to stay in this cup.
It was really flat for those last few minutes. It was like they were preparing for extra time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just, it's like, why? Like, you know, when you got to put your body on the line there, you got to come across and throw your body at it. It'll be a soft way to go out of the cup, and very, very disappointing.
Now Harps with a free kick in a decent area here, about 15 yards in from the far touchline, 15 yards inside the Sligo Rovers half. Carlos Sullivan standing over it. Early stages of the second half here at the Showgrounds. O'Sullivan dinks it in.
This is a dangerous ball. It's gone straight into the net.
Yeah.
Has it been flicked in by Siddiqui?
Yeah,
well, he's claiming it.
Yeah, it was Siddiqui.
It's a goal for Finn Harps and they lead. Well, what about that at the start of this second half? 90 seconds played and the ball in from O'Sullivan had a really good whip on it into a really dangerous area. Siddiqui just got a little bit of a flick to it. Not much Ed McGinty could
bounce.
Do.
It seemed to bounce in the penalty box or on the penalty spot. Siddiqui gets a touch on it and it beats Ed McGinty. And I, the Sligo players are protesting, you know, about, I don't know, really, I don't know what they're protesting. We just didn't defend it properly. And as I said earlier on the first half, if you don't take your chances, you know, you get punished.
Well, balls again now. So with Devoy on the left hand side, he plays it into the box. Gary Buckley with the header out as far as Keith Buckley trying to make space for a shot, and he drives it low into the corner of the net, and just like that it's 1-0 to Bowes, and Buckley had all the time in the world there. Mark,
do you know what, like, Dawson Devoy has done really well on the edge of the box. He's tried to play a ball into the box, ball gets headed out to Buckley on the edge of the box. He's there on Akers, about 25 yards out. He's getting closed down, takes a touch out of his feet, getting closed down, and chops it back onto his left foot brilliantly. And it's a beautiful finish with the left foot into the bottom corner. Great goal.
Well, there is the full-time whistle. It's all over here at Daly Mount Park. And it's another defeat for Sligo Rovers. Beaten by 1-0. Keith Buckley with the game's only goal after 64 minutes. A low left foot drive from about 20 yards outside the box. Rovers now will take on Derry City. That's their next game. Derry currently look like they're about to beat Dundalk. And all of a sudden, Sligo Rovers, it's been a tale of two seasons. It had been a great first half before the break. After the break, 6 defeats in a row. Their 7-point gap is now down to 4, and there's real pressure on Liam Buckley's men.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, at the start of the season, would you have taken where they are now? Absolutely. But it's a difficult period. They need to dig in. They need to work hard. They need to win ugly, let's say.
Kenny trying to put Toll under pressure once again. It's Call, in fact, who wins the ball back for Derry.
And
four to come again. This is a cross for Derry City. Rovers are going to be careful here. Colley is straight on the right for the shot into the angle of the net, and Derry have the goal in the dying moments.
Yeah.
It's a super finish. Derry make it City 2, Sligo Rovers 1.
Ball into the box. I think it came off David Colley and just bounced up. And like I said to you, that sort of happens sometimes. I said there'd be another goal. You know, when things don't go for you, things don't go for you. But I've been saying all night, you know, Derry have been a threat going forward. They really, really have. And we didn't defend the cross properly. It sort of bounced up. And great finish by him.
And there's the whistle for the end of the match. And for the 7th match in a row, Sligo Rovers have been beaten. And that will hurt everybody, the players, the management and the supporters. The difference is, Gavin Dykes, well done to Derry City, by the way. They worked hard for the win. The difference is, this was a much better Rovers
display.
Yeah,
it was a better performance, by no doubt about it, you know. Really, really was, but disappointing. And again, we got undone. You know, a mistake at the back, a ball into the box. We didn't deal with it properly, you know. And at this level, you get punished for it. And at the moment, you know, you're losing games. You know, that's 7 in a row now we've lost. And I feel a wee bit sorry for them tonight because, you know, I've been critical of them before about, you know, losing games and not having a go. We had a go tonight. But when you're on a bad run, you know, it's really, really hard. Losing is a habit and winning is a habit. And at the moment, we're in a very, very bad losing habit. So it's just very disappointing. The one good thing is, we haven't got a game next week. You know, we haven't. You know, we maybe get a week to try and get some people back and go to Drogheda. You know, which is not an easy place to go at the moment anyway, Austin.
Gavin Dykes after Rovers' 7-game losing streak, but Rovers would eventually steady the ship. And in the first week of November, goals from Ryan DeVries, Johnny Kenny and Adam McDonnell secured a 3-0 win against St. Pat's at Inchicore in Dublin. And with it, European football once again next season. 2021 was also the year Sligo Rovers announced a new ambitious master plan for the club, both on the pitch and off it. One of the proposals would see the academy moving to a new greenfield site in the northwest region to continue their development of new upcoming young talent. Talent like Mohra boys Jason Devaney, who can remember kicking a football as a four-year-old with his older brothers outside his home in Sligo within shouting distance of the showgrounds. He gave an insightful interview about his path from underage football locally to the dressing room of Sligo Rovers.
I remember I started playing football just outside my house with my two older brothers. This was about the age of four. And then I know my dad was coaching into Marvel. He's been there a while. And so he got me into the academy, the Marvel Academy. And since then, I've been playing for the Marvel Academy, then moved on to Strand, then moved on to Rovers. So I have been around the academy for a while, and okay, it's just been good overall.
So just take me back to when you were four and playing outside your house with your brothers. How far away was that, would you say, as the crow flies from the showgrounds?
It wasn't too far. It's actually just walking distance away from showgrounds, and it's actually just my house would be right behind Marvel. So if you hop the wall, you're into Marvel's ground.
Okay. So, I mean, the sound of the showgrounds was part of your soundtrack growing up. Would that be, say, even if you weren't at the game, you'd hear a roar from the crowd, I imagine, when you were at home some of the days or evenings?
Yeah. If I wasn't at the games or I wasn't able to attend the games, I would hear the chants from the fans and even the players. You could hear the music before starting games, and then after the games you could hear it.
So what age were you when you started playing with Merville?
Six.
Six, right.
So it goes from under sevens and then upwards to senior.
Okay. And can you remember, like, when you were six or seven or eight or nine, did you ever, when you were training there at Merville some Saturday morning, did you ever look across at the showgrounds and the pylons in the distance and think, I'd love to play there someday?
I think my main goal for me when I was younger was, it wasn't to go across the water anyways. It was to always play for my local team. And it was even better because when you're younger at that age for Marvel, you're training in the showgrounds. So you get the feel of it when you're that age.
Yeah, because it's kind of the umbrella club there in some respects, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's every young footballer's at that age. You just want to play for that first team, I think.
So you got a lot of nurturing and grounding at Merville United, and then you went to Strand Celtic for a season or two as an under 14.
Yeah, I did.
And was that helpful in terms of your player development?
Yeah, it was very helpful because, well, at Merville, I've been there so many years and I just felt like I needed to win. I needed to win titles before I moved on into the Rovers. So I moved on to Strandhill and I got the Connacht final. I won three Sligo-Leitrim leagues in 1 year because I was playing with the under 15 Strands and the under 16 Strands team. So I just won so much at that year, so I had to move on, I think.
Can you remember the day that you heard Sligo Rovers were taking an interest in you?
I actually can. It was Morris that told me. I had to get a photo shoot for Strand to put up on the Facebook.
This is Morris Monaghan you're talking about.
Yes, Morris Monaghan. He was my coach when I was in there. He contacted me, Brian Lynch and Kilda Brannigan. So we had to get a photo shoot for Strand's Facebook to congratulate us three progressing into the under 15 Sligo Rovers team. And it was a good day for me and my family and for my football career to go on ahead.
And you went in and joined the under 15s at Sligo Rovers, then you worked your way to the under 17s, then the under 19s, and now today, 2021, Jason Devaney, at the age of 18, you're training with the senior first team squad.
Yeah, it's like a dream. It has been, it's been so good to me. I still can't believe it that I'm with the big boys now, like, it still doesn't feel real to me.
Yeah, and you've already got a taste of senior football in the pre-season friendlies.
Yeah, I have. I've gotten a few minutes in for the pre-season friendlies. I think that's where my time would be to shine, because, you know, in the league you want to do well and you want the players that have been there, that are physically there, to play in the league games. But hopefully I can get some more minutes into the league or even the cup games. Hopefully they can, you know, show that I'm doing well and put me on for a few minutes.
So who is kind of, in inverted commas, managing you right now? Is it Liam Buckley? Is it Brian Dorian with the under-19s? Is it Conor O'Grady as head of academy? You probably have a couple of mentors.
Yeah, there's many mentors. The main is Liam Buckley. He is the manager. But when I'm in Tuesday and Thursdays, it will be Brian, because he's my under-19s manager. And John Russell, of course, the assistant manager. He does a lot for me as well. He takes the trainings and Liam just oversees the trainings and gives you a little bit of advice after training or in between training on what to do better and what to try and get the bad habits out of you.
So while you're training with the senior squad, but you're not precluded from playing in the under-19 National League with Rovers.
Yeah. So I'm in training whatever days we're in training, and then I could be training then that evening with under-19s and then games with under-19s on the weekends whenever it's up and ready.
Very good. So what have you made of this new look first team squad that Liam Buckley has assembled? I'm sure you're getting to know some of the new faces who've come in, the Greg Bulgers, the Robbie McCourts, the Colm Horgans, etc. Are you excited by what you see?
Yeah, it's a very different squad from last year's. I think it's improved a lot. The signings Liam has made have been very good. Like Craig Bulger, he's been around for years. He knows what he's at. He's the main rock in the team, I think. He is good. Robbie McCourt as well. Last year, I think he didn't miss one game for Waterford, so he's just a good addition, as he's not injury prone. Colm Horgan as well, as you said. He is very good at the right back area and can play in right wing. So there's many options there. But the signings he has made, it has improved the team a lot, and it has been good in pre-season training.
Has Romeo Parks taught you how to somersault when you score a goal yet?
No, he hasn't yet. I must get on to him for that.
But I'm sure you'll be looking to try and put your hand up if an opportunity presents itself during the course of this first team session. And I know you're still learning your trade. So, but, you know, there might be a match day where Liam Buckley gives you the nod and says, I'm going to bring you with me this weekend.
Yeah. Like, I play left back, but I can also do the job in left wing or centre back if needs be. So if he ever does give me the nod, I'm 100% ready to go for the team and to give it my all.
Well, do you feel you're a lovely example to young footballers, Jason, as a local Mohra boy lad who grew up playing football on the streets close to the showgrounds, and here you are part of the senior setup all these years later?
Yeah, I do feel like I would be kind of a role model for maybe young people around my area anyways. Even at Merville, it just shows you that if you work hard, you're determined to go up that fair and take the game seriously, then you can progress. And Merville's academy is perfect for it, as it's so close to the showgrounds. And it just, when you're looking at the gates, it just gives you that bit more motivation to work harder and go for it more.
Sligo Rovers Academy footballer Jason Devaney speaking to us back in March. The same month, we also spoke to Jonathan Sinclair, son of former Sligo Rovers manager Billy Sinclair, following the family's revelation that the former Rovers boss has been diagnosed with dementia.
I just know from speaking to my father the affinity he has for Sligo, for the people, for the club. It's a place that he holds very dear to his heart. And those memories, even with his condition, that he still talks about with great fondness today.
When was he diagnosed with dementia, Jonathan?
He was diagnosed just over a year ago, Austin. It was just prior to sort of COVID. starting, the pandemic beginning. And it was just prior to that, that's how I recall.
And how is he keeping?
He's in very good spirits, Austin, I have to say. He still loves to watch football, still talks about football, and he still gets out with my mother. But, you know, you can definitely see signs of little things where he forgets himself at times and loses track of conversations. But other than that, he's in pretty good spirits.
He was such a vibrant guy when he came here a couple of seasons ago to open the Sligo Rovers Outdoor Museum. His is one of the first faces that greets you when you walk behind the main stand in the showgrounds. And it was a very fitting thing at the time that he should be the man to officially open the museum.
Yeah, I think that was a tremendous honour to him. And I knew he really was touched by the fact that his was the face that you saw when you came in through the door, and I think that sort of blew him away a little bit, if you like. And he's not an overly emotional man, but I knew it tugged on his heartstrings, that's for sure.
And you've no doubt that being a footballer through the 60s and 70s, heading the ball, that's been a contributing factor to his condition today.
Well, his consultant that we spoke to, she was pretty sure that his heading of the ball, you know, through his career, that was a big contributory factor to his condition. And it just so happened that around the time of my father's diagnosis, the academic study, the field study funded by the SFA into the effects of heading was just published around that time. And was alluding to that fact and saying there was a definite link between heading the ball and degenerative brain conditions.
He's in good spirits otherwise.
Yes, he's in good spirits, Austin. In fact, he's asking my mother at present, when this ends, can we go back to Sligo?
Well, it would be nice to see him down here again whenever pandemic conditions allow. Growing up, Jonathan, would he have talked to you much about his time in Sligo?
Absolutely, Austin. I knew the affinity he had with the place, and my mum and dad have some very good friends still in Sligo. Michael and Maureen O'Boylan, I believe Michael helped out with Sligo as a trainer and helping with the club, run the club, and they're still friends to this day, and they still go down to see them. I know. I had travelled up and down as a child and to see Michael and Maureen and often stay with them for over summer holidays. And I knew when we were out and people would say, this is Billy Sinclair's son. And even as I was a child, I knew that people knew who he was.
Can you remind us of the time when Billy was approached by Sligo Rovers to become manager?
Yes, Austin, it's a story my mum often retells. They were living in Australia at the time, and my father was playing for a team called Marconi. And my mother tells me that my father came in one day and he just said to her, I've got a job. And she asked, where? He said, in Sligo. And she looked at him and said, well, when do you go? He says, well, I'm going next week. And she said, what about me? He said, well, you're going to have to stay here and sell the house and all the furniture. And up he went. That was it.
That was quite a change from Australia to the showgrounds in Sligo.
Well, I'm sure the weather was just slightly different. But it shows you, Austin, the draw of football for my father and what it meant to his life, that he was prepared to just ship halfway across the world, because I know my dad told me that when he spoke to Sligo, that he just felt in his blood that it was the right move for him.
And I mean, football is such a part of his life, because in the intervening years he has worked with clubs in Northern Ireland. Of course, he's a very famous name around the Oval and Glentoran, Windsor Park and Linfield. And even up until recently, he was scouting for clubs from time to time, as I understand it.
Yes, absolutely, Austin. I mean, when pre-pandemic, I mean, there wasn't a Saturday that didn't go by that my father wasn't at the Oval to watch Glentoran, or went with his great friend Derek Bowyer to watch Linfield. And if they weren't at one of the big clubs, they were away scouting and looking for talent at the junior grounds, the junior pitches.
And I gather he's been watching some old Sligo Rovers matches in more recent times.
Yes, Austin. Someone, I think it was from RTE, kindly sent him a couple of DVDs last year of games. I believe it was against Bohemians and Shelburne were definitely two of them. Full length matches. And my father watched them from start to finish several times.
We've been reading in the news this week, Jonathan, that Scottish politicians are calling for, you know, dementia affecting ex-footballers, for that to be termed an industrial injury. This is something you'd support?
Absolutely, Austin. It's something I feel quite strongly about. My opinion is that these guys played in front of large crowds in those days, but they didn't get paid anywhere near the sums that players do now. So these guys gave a lot of entertainment and joy to thousands of people. And I just feel that now, when they are suffering from illnesses and diseases like dementia, that any support that they could get or their families could receive to help them with their care would be greatly received.
And you're a football coach yourself these days, Jonathan. Is what you're learning about your dad's condition changing your thinking about how we coach football to the younger generation?
Yeah, absolutely. I coach a junior team. My boys are all 10 and 11 years of age. And there was a recent move by the AFA to stop heading the ball in training, which we do. But it opened debate within our club about was it the right thing or not. Personally speaking, I feel we have a duty of care to children. And I believe that in light of what's happened to my father, we should protect children till they're old enough to make their mind up about whether heading the ball is something that they feel comfortable with.
That's Jonathan Sinclair, son of former Sligo Rovers manager Billy Sinclair, speaking to Ocean FM Sport last March. In boxing, Sligo welterweight fighter Dean Clancy won gold for Ireland at the European Under-22 Championships in June at light welterweight after winning his final without throwing a punch. Clancy's Israeli opponent, Amaj Shri, was a no-show, and the judges eventually awarded the contest to the Sligo man. There were homecomings in Sligo town for Clancy and in Manor Hamilton, where he trains.
You know, everyone who came out today was great. It was love to see. Just want to thank everyone for coming out to support in Manor Hamilton, and Sligo has been crazy. You know, not even just Sligo Leitrim, but all over Ireland. You know, the messages I've been getting mean so much to me as well, you know.
And you, I think, tweeted or posted on Facebook that you're reflecting on the European performances in Italy, and you're getting some new insights into them still.
Yeah. I went out there just in a performance basis, you know. I went out there just to enjoy myself, see how I do, because I moved up 2 weight classes. But I went out there, and after my first fight, I was like, you know, because I was out of the ring for so long, I wasn't too nervous going into it. You know, I had nothing really to lose, especially moving up weight class. But geez, I put on some performances in each fight. I gained more confidence and momentum, and I was just, to be honest, like, I would say I was boxing out of my skin, and I kind of shocked myself too, you know. I was dominating these boys, scoring 10-8 rounds, and they weren't even counts, you know. But overall, I'm happy with my performance, you know. I'm going to keep it up. It's nice to prove my worth in an elite level and senior, you know. And I'm only 19, and I'm only 19 now, like, and I'm aiming towards 2024, so, you know, anything in between that now is just to build towards that.
And your performances in Italy, for those of us who have seen them on camera or on live stream, they were absolutely impressive. You impressed every commentator that was commentating. You certainly looked in control. You had one perhaps difficult fight, but you're really certainly dictating matters.
Yeah, you know, I won a tough fight now, in fairness. It was close, it was against France. He's a good kid, boxed a very smart fight. You know, I was disappointed now with the final, but, you know, I suppose it was injury. But, look, I had 4 tough fights. I had the toughest draw in my weight division. You know, I beat the number 3 seed, I beat the number 6 seed, and then I went on to beat Italy in Italy, winning every single round by every judge. So, you know, I'm not too disappointed, but, you know, be nice to get, it would have been the cherry on top to win the fight for the goal, but, you know, at the end of the day, the build-up, 4 fights, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think that you would have won the gold in the ring as well as the way you won it, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. Everyone sees you as a true European champion. You're a IT scholarship student, sports scholarship student in Sligo IT. You're certainly involved in education as well, and that's important for you also, I'd say.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's hard to balance both and both, but, you know, it's stuff that needs to be done. You know, it's the 1% that get that makes me successful, you know. Being in IT college, I'm studying sports or business, and it's a great course, you know. It wasn't too bad with COVID, you see, because, like, I there was no boxing, and I was focusing on the college mainly up until Christmas. Then I started knuckling down with the boxing leading up when I got confirmation over the Europeans. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, I got a scholarship from the IT, and, you know, that was great to get, because, you know, it's nice to see not only me, but, like, all the other scholars. You know, it's nice to see them get recognition off the college for what they've achieved, you know.
And the college, I've seen Dr. Brendan McCormack, the president of Sligo Institute of Technology, praised you. They're very happy to have a European champion as a student at the college.
Yeah, you know, he's dead right, you know. Thanks a lot for him saying that, you know. It's great to hear. You know, I'm always here to fucking, if they ever want to have a wee chat, you know.
Very good. And now, of course, 3 years to the next Olympic Games. It's certainly, I'd say, perhaps in your focus. You're taking a little bit of time off, I know, but you'll be focusing ahead on what's a bright future for Dean Clancy.
Yeah, you know, I've a week off now, and I'll be straight into the gym again, you know. No breaks for me. You know, I don't really believe in breaks, you know, until I had long enough break, actually, with COVID. But, you know, I'm enjoying training. You know, I love training. I always enjoy being in the gym. 2024 is looking bright. You know, I'm only 19. We're 18 months out, I'd say, before qualifiers, and I'm achieving gold at 19. You know, that's a lot. There's a good few months. The time will fly, but, like, there's a good period there of development and to maturity. I feel I've matured a lot in the last year over COVID as a boxer and as a person. So, yeah, looking forward to the next few months developing.
And, of course, we hope COVID will go away and things will become normal. It'll be easier for you preparing, I would think, also.
Yeah. You know, I hope everyone just stays safe and stays away from everyone and keeps 2 meters apart and follows the guidelines and all that, and get this virus out of the country, basically. You know.
And obviously, the Olympic Games would be huge.
Yeah, definitely. You know, me and Darvalin went to the Youth Olympic Games in Buenos Aires. Same setup. It was a great trip, you know. But looking forward to doing it in the senior level.